This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Obama administration is moving now to drop all charges against an arms dealer who threatened to expose a plan by then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to arm anti-Qaddafi rebels in Libya back in 2011. Chief Intelligence Correspondent Catherine Herridge live in Washington with that. Catherine?
Well, thank you, John. Working with senior executive producer Pamela Brown, we secured the only TV interview with arms dealer Mark Turi. And based on the interview, court documents, and emails from Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill, Turi makes a compelling case the Obama administration authorized a covert weapons program to arm the Libyan rebels in 2011 that spun out of control. This clip from the investigation first aired on the Fox Business Network.
This would come under Secretary Clinton's watch.
This sworn affidavit released in May 2015 and obtained by Fox News indicates a covert weapons operation was authorized. Turi's partner and advisor was this man, David Manners. During his 18-year career at the CIA, he served as the top spy in Jordan and in the former Czechoslovakia. Manners stated, in his expert opinion, the United States did participate directly or indirectly in the supply of weapons to the Libyan Transitional National Council.
That's where I came up with this zero-footprint Arab supply chain.
And based on this new court filing, the Justice Department has now moved to dismiss the charges against Turi, in part because a trial that would happen around the election in November would publicly expose evidence about the administration's strategy to arm the Libyan opposition. The government motion reads in part, in light of the court's discovery rulings, the administrative resolution between DDTC, that's a branch of the State Department that licenses weapons for sale, and the defendant and other factors, the government seeks leave of the court to dismiss the criminal matter. This case will now be resolved through a civil settlement, which avoids litigation over Clinton's term as Secretary of State, as well as her emails. Turi told Fox as part of that investigation that he believes half of the weapons ended up in Libya and the other half went to Syrian groups who are not friendly to the United States.
Well, I'll tell you, and this is just the beginning, it's the top. They don't want anybody to get close to this guy. The fact that this is even being exposed to this, this element, because most of this information will just fall by the wayside. You know, it's kind of like small ball type of stuff, but it's really not. It is the microcosm. It is the, you know, kind of the essence of Hillary Clinton and, progressives like her that just somehow believe that, they are in full control. They can break the law, do whatever they want, and it's all okay.
Well, I mean, small things are one thing, but when you get a lot of small things together,
yeah,
it becomes a lot bigger. It's a snowball. You know, little things become, you know, you start pushing it down the hill and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much does this tentacle tie into what happened to Benghazi? See, those are the questions. You go, okay, because, you know, we found out afterwards, which was one of those, below the fold kind of reports. It was way down there next to the obituary talking about the government finally saying, yeah, there was a little bit of gun running, going on. Well, yeah, you think? I mean, when you got the Turkey ambassador just meeting with Chris Stevens about an hour before, he exits stage left. He's out of there. And, indications were that there were gun running. And, the guns were going through Turkey into Syria. And, forget about the rule of law. Forget about, what is constitutional. This administration continues to ride roughshod. I mean, they talk about, the cowboy nature of Ronald Reagan or Donald Trump. Are you kidding me? I mean, these guys have taken it to a new art form. And, of course, they're backed and supported by the mainstream media that continues to leave us in the dark here when they're supposed to be doing their job otherwise. Well, anyway, this is going to be a topic, and we'll continue to talk about it. This is Bill Martinez. We're live just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, we're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour, as we remain on hurricane watch here. It looks like we're going to be taking a direct hit. As most of you know, part of the year we're based out of Port St. Lucie, Florida. And we're watching and staying atop of the hurricane activity. They're talking we could be experiencing sustained winds of about 140 miles an hour. The Treasure Coast, people are hunkering down. The ones that are staying, many have already left. They're talking over a million people going to be affected here on the east coast of Florida with this Hurricane Matthew. And so we'll keep you apprised as to what's going on, and we will remain on the air as long as we can. I was just told that we're on the hospital power grid. The chances are very likely that we will lose power sometime later on this afternoon or later on tonight, certainly. But we're on the hospital power grid, so hopefully we'll get our power restored quickly. But no doubt, this is a an incredible hurricane. It's looking like it's picking up speed, and by the time it hits the East Coast here, we're talking probably a hurricane, to the fourth level. So Category 4 is what they're looking at. Well, let's talk about politics, because it's fun to do, and because it's just it's the season. That's just what happens. So Dr. Herb London is with us, the president of London Center for Policy Research and the co-author of the new book, The Encyclopedia of Militant Islam. Dr. Herb, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Well, doing very well. Thank you very much. And I hope for the best for you. I'm concerned about the hurricane that is coming right through Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Well, God willing, we'll be fine. I'm an earthquake boy. I'm a West Coast California boy. I don't know about hurricanes. So this is my first experience. But, we've got all the emergency things that we need, and we're well stored and stored up and everything. So, we're far enough away, I guess, as much as you can be. Because this band, they're talking about, people going, well, I'll go to the West. Well, the bands are such that even the West of Florida is going to experience some tropical storm activity and winds, about 60, 70 miles an hour there. So, there's really just no getting away from it. It's just, hopefully we can, hunker down and we've got it all. We've got the shutters up and everything else. So, we're about as prepared as you can be, I guess.
Well, I wish you well.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Hey, a while ago, with Mike Pence, you urged him to run for Congress, and you were cheering him on for this vice presidential debate. And, once again, your advice was rather prescient. Mike delivered the goods, didn't he?
Well, I think that he was measured. He was articulate. He was calm. He appeared as though he was far more presidential. Than Senator Kaine.
Yes.
Kaine interrupted him a number of times, I think was rather shrill, and he was a kind of one-note Charlie. It was the income tax. There was very little that he had to offer. When it came to the policy discussions, there was no question that I think Mike had a much better view of what kind of policy reforms are necessary in the country. Mm-hmm. On the whole, I would say it was an A-minus performance. On the case of Kane, I would give him a C+. Mm-hmm. So there was a clear victory for Mike Pence.
Well, to your point, Herb, the takeaway for me was if a vice president had to step in, which candidate would you want to step in into the position of president? And I don't think there was any doubt whatsoever that Mike Pence is your man.
Right. As I said, I think he displayed all of the qualities you would look for in a president. He was certainly very thoughtful. He's reflective. And by and large, he's the kind of person who understands the issues and knows how to express them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the things that impressed me a great deal during the course of the debate, he was being baited by Kane. Kane wanted very much to engage in the distractions, the Miss Universe contest, a variety of other things that Trump said that might have been quite unfortunate. Mike Pence would not rise to that occasion.
Right.
He would not let him do it. He kept saying, look, we're here to discuss issues. I'm going to discuss the issues, whether you like it or not. And frankly, I think it's good advice for Donald Trump.
Exactly.
If Donald Trump engages in the debate on Sunday and allows himself to get caught up in one of these landmines that are put out there by the Democrats, he will lose. And this is very much his own doing. I mean, why, for example, do you feel so adamant about having to prove to the Democrats that you were against the war in Iraq? They say you were for the war, and you say I was against the war. I was on Howard Stern's program. Let me explain that to you. Mm-hmm. He spent 7 minutes discussing that issue when, in fact, it was a distraction and a trap that was set by the Democratic Party.
Yes,
he
exactly. He
should have known better.
Well, that and the birther issue, he spent an inordinate amount of time on that. And his simple reply, Herb, would have been that, you know, Lester, shame on you for trying to bring up some sort of racial divide in our country. You know, this is a settled issue. And
right.
And leave it at that and pivot and move on, you know.
Right. And it was a constitutional issue that had nothing to do with race. And, look, I really want to discuss the things that make a difference to Americans. You're absolutely right.
Mm.
And that is, it should be the issue. There are two overarching themes in this campaign. One is, of course, the bread and butter issues. What's happening in the economy?
Exactly.
Why is it that the labor participation rate in the United States is roughly at the same level as the Great Depression? We are supposedly going through a recovery. What kind of recovery have we seen when so few Americans are actually engaged in labor participation?
Exactly.
The second issue is, of course, national security. Can the President of the United States provide for security here at home and protect American interests abroad? That's the issue. Those are the issues. Concentrate on those two themes, and you will win this race. That's what Americans are looking for. Can
right.
someone do something to put an adrenaline shot into the economy? And is there something that we can do in the way in which we deploy our forces and engage in our immigration policy that will allow for some sort of national security concerns?
Mm-hmm.
And if Donald Trump can do that, he will walk away with this because
exactly.
she does not have a record that would in any way allow people to have any confidence that she can answer those two themes.
Yeah, she has no credibility.
No credibility. She doesn't have any answers. There is no policy. She's had the chance to introduce policies and she's failed. Everywhere in the world we see disarray. And what are you supposed to think? She was Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Kane to say, well, we're very proud of the Iran deal, which
yeah.
is laughable.
I thought Mike Pence was going to fall over in his chair when he heard that.
If the Israelis support it, why do you think Netanyahu came to the Senate and addressed the Congress of the United States and said this is a very bad deal? And now he says the Israelis support it. Of course they do not support it.
Of course,
and
yes.
then to say that this has eliminated Iran's shot at a nuclear weapon, it guarantees a nuclear weapon. Whether it's a year and they cheat, 5 years and they accelerate their program, 10 years and they do nothing, they will get nuclear weapons. And Obama has admitted as much.
Right.
So this is a virtual guarantee. It's not a question of whether they've eliminated Iran's chance to get a nuclear weapon. They've delayed Iran's chance to get a nuclear weapon, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But then, That's absurd to talk about elimination.
Yeah, and let's talk about proliferation. Let's talk about what that will do in terms of, and we already know Saudi Arabia and others are looking at their chance to get their hands on a nuclear weapon and system operating in their country. Dr. Herb London is with us. More from Dr. Herb right after this. Stay with us, America.
Diabetes is at war with your circulatory system. Fight back with Cardivite. Cardivite is a dietary supplement containing powerful herbs for circulation and healthy cardiac function. Improve your energy, stamina, and mental acuity. Reduce swelling, cold hands, and risk of amputation. Get your blood flowing with Cardivite. This 5-star rated product was developed by a diabetic pharmacist and is available online at www.getbloodflowing.com. That's www.getbloodflowing.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson of the Genesis Communications Network. Over the 30-plus years I've been in finance, I can see that the world economy is now at a critical point. Unlimited money creation and runaway debt could trigger a collapse of the financial system. It's imperative that you protect yourself in case of hyperinflation or even deflation. Investment Rarities has put together a survival bag of 200 silver quarters. These 90% silver quarters are dated 1964 and earlier. Each quarter is worth almost $5. If a quarter has already reached $5, the trend is obviously on your side. These survival bags sell for $8.95 delivered. Call 800-328-1860 to order today. Not only can these quarters be used for barter in a brief period of hyperinflation, they have the potential to appreciate 5 to 10 times. Call 800-328-1860. Get one for each member of your family. Call 800-328-1860. That's 800-328-1860.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are the answers to your present and future hidden in your past? Akashic readings help you learn to unlock the answers for love, finances, weight loss, self-esteem, confusion, grief and loss, and more. Akashic email readings by Dr. Kelly Maroon, PhD, are specially priced right now. Learn more at Dr. Kelly Maroon's website, akashicuniversal.com, spelled AKASHICUniversal.com. Change your life today. Become one with your true path with intention on purpose. Visit akashicuniversal.com.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to change the station. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be faster than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to change the station now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt too. You could reduce your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now. 1-800-557-3965. That's 1-800-557-3965. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now. 1-800-557-3965. 1-800-557-3965. 1-800-557-3965.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At Bill Martinez Live, we should change Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. That's 855-305-8326.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
Chris Matthews, Chris. Ryan, I thought it was very illuminating. I thought that Mike Pence did all the things right that Donald Trump did wrong. His body language was excellent. He was very good on reaction. He looked like a grown-up every time, whatever his words were. And, of course, he was playing with a couple deuces against the guy with a full house, so it was very difficult for him in terms of the issues. I mean, he had to defend Donald Trump. But he came across as a grown-up, strong. I thought he's very effective at being a conservative. But I really think he accomplished tonight has made himself probably the front-runner for the Republican nomination in 2020. He hit all the bases on the conservative side. He was pro-life and rather eloquent on it at the end. You may not agree with him, but he was eloquent. I also thought that he was very good on the policing issue for the conservative side, very strong against illegal immigration on the conservative side. So he really didn't work the suburbs for Trump. It's securing Trump's right-wing flank. I think that may be important in the numbers the next couple of days to stop this hemorrhaging of Trump, to hold him on the right and hold him on the conservative side. On the other hand, I thought at times, and I like the guy, Kane was a little bit, I don't know what the right word is, a little desperate there, jumping in all the time, always trying to get his points, and he didn't wait his turn. Obviously, if he had just waited his turn, in the back and forth nature of this kind of event, he would have had his opportunity. I don't know why he kept interrupting, because with two people debating, the other guy gets the chance to speak. He couldn't wait for that. I think that hurt him. But overall, I think the winner tonight will end up being, in terms of the debate and what they were trying to accomplish, Pence, because Pence really was solid. He looked like he had his head screwed on, and I think that's going to look very important for Trump. I think it was very important for him to look like a grown-up.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back, America. It's Chris Matthews. Dr. Herb, he didn't quite have a thrill going up his leg there, but he did have,
No free zone.
Yes, exactly.
I kept saying the conservative side. Look, I think he was, Mike Pence was not speaking to the conservative side. He was speaking to America.
Right.
He was trying to develop a position that is a position most Americans can embrace. And I think that he did a very good job, as we indicated before. So, I mean, of course, it's typical of Chris Matthews. He kept saying, well, he did well for the conservative side.
Right,
well,
exactly.
He did well, period.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that very well said and insightful on your part, Herb, that he was speaking to America, and that was clear and came across. You know, we were talking just a moment ago about Hillary's suggestions of the alt-right universe that is in play here. And I would argue there is an alt-left, because whenever you have one side, you always have a corresponding side. And there is that alt-left side that Tim Kaine belongs to, that Hillary Clinton belongs to, which is an alternate universe that makes statements like Iran, the Iran ambitions for nuclear weaponization has clearly stopped, that it's all under full control. And I say full control spelled F-O-O-L, not F-U-L-L. Certainly, I don't know, you know, anybody there in the region, all the experts that I speak to, former Pentagon officials, they're talking about the proliferation of nuclear weaponization with Iran going nuclear. You know that Saudi Arabia, you know the other Middle East nations are saying, okay, well, it must be open, so, you know, we got to get our hands on a bomb, too.
Well, there is no question that the Iranians have a guarantee that they will have nuclear weapons. They understand that. And they've also, of course, they keep saying in their own parliament, to the extent there is one, we want to destroy the great Satan.
Yes.
What do they say as well? Let's destroy the little Satan. What do they write on their missiles? What, this is to destroy Israel.
Right.
So it is very clear what the Iranians are attempting to do. They want to be the strong horse in the area. In any escalation scenario, in which you talk about potential war, they want to be in the position where they can always go to nuclear weapons if they have to. And so what they're saying is to the other nations is, we are the strong force in the region. The goal of the Shia Crescent is something that the Iranians have always had in mind. And to some degree, it's been achieved. If you look at the strides that have been made in Yemen and in Lebanon and in Syria, obviously they are one of the strong forces in the area. And now with the alliance that they have with the Russians, there is no question that they have military might that others have to look at. The United States is irrelevant, absolutely irrelevant. People are saying to me, what is the policy of the United States in Syria? Our policy in Syria is to beg the Russians to stop bombing. That's the policy. The best that we can do is cut off negotiations. We do not have a policy. There is no leverage that the United States has in that region. The people in Aleppo are now hostages to the Russians. They are living under bombs that will kill them every single day as long as they oppose Assad. The goal that the Russians have in mind is to make sure that Assad is installed and ensconced. So, again, what role do we play?
Right.
When Erdogan made his démarche with the Russians very recently after 1,000 years of war and now saying he's going to work with the Russians as well, recognizing the fact that the Russians are the strong horse and the Turks want to kill the Kurds, they're not interested in what happens. They're losing interest in Assad. They wanted Assad to go, but now they're saying, okay, keep Assad. Let's just kill the Kurds. And the Russians are saying, let's keep Assad. That's their deal. Well, Erdogan gets on TV, speaks for 45 minutes, and talks about the role of the Turks and the role of the Russians and the role of the Iranians and even the role of ISIS. 45-minute public speech, and one variable is never mentioned in the equation, the role of the United States.
Exactly.
We do not have one.
Right. Well, and look what happened. Who did Netanyahu meet with recently? You know, he met with Putin. And so, no surprise here. All the experts, the Pentagon officials that I speak with, former and current, have all said that Putin wants a bigger footprint, and Barack Obama just opened up the gate, and he's gaining a larger footprint and presence in the area, and he is he's dictating policy there.
Well, he's dictating policy to the United States, but the most interesting thing is, if you now look at any war games in the area, the Russians with the new newly expanded naval base in Tartus, and the Air Force base that they built in Latakia, and then the one nearby, which has now become a major resource for them, they would offset the Sixth Fleet if the Sixth Fleet were to arrive in East Mediterranean. So right now, the Russians are the strong horse. They determine the East Mediterranean. The irony of this is that in 1973, Sadat kicked the Russians out of the Middle East. We have invited them back in to deal with the poison gas question, because after the red line was eliminated, that is, the red line was probably written in invisible ink, the president of the United States said to the Russians, you deal with this issue. He invited the Russians in. The Russians now determine policy in the region, not the United States. So if you were talking about this, you're in a presidential debate, and you're asking, what can the United States do? You have to ask the obvious question, what we could have done in 2011, when the civil war in Syria broke out, we cannot do now because we do not have any leverage. Russians and the Iranians working together control the area.
And the words of one Mitt Romney echoing back that President Obama, you know, kind of laughed at and chided him like he didn't know what he was talking about. And look what happened.
Well, we see what the reset really means. We understand now what the reset with the Russians means.
And that's tied to Hillary Clinton. Remember, that was a Hillary Clinton deal and Barack Obama deal.
That's correct. And again, no voter in America should lose sight of that. When you're asking the question, what is happening to American security? Ask the question of what Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration did over the last 8 years.
Well, it seems that Hillary Clinton was more interested in the Clinton Foundation in working out deals, and Putin and the rest of the world was willing, China, to, you know, let it play. Let her make her money, let her do her side deals, as corrupt as it is, and meanwhile, we're going to go about, building our own nations and setting our own footprint. Thank you very much.
Well, I think that that's pretty much correct. And Hillary Clinton was engaged in a pay-to-play arrangement, but she sits in the State Department. Deals are being made. She approves the deals. And then magically, $20 million, $30 million appears in her Clinton Foundation account. It's remarkable, absolutely remarkable.
And let's not forget, 20% of the country's uranium now belongs to Russia. Thank you very much, Clinton Foundation.
That's correct. Half of all of the uranium produced in the United States goes to the Russians. It's now owned by the Russians. 20% worldwide. This is remarkable. So a little bit like Lenin providing the rope that will be used to hang the Americans. We'll sell you the rope. They'll be used to kill the Americans.
Well, this is the scenario for the alt-left, Dr. Herb London. Thank you so much for being with us. President of the London Center for Policy Research, thank you. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 28 minutes after the top of the hour.
This report is brought to you by Tostitos and Pepsi.
This season, Tostitos, the official chip and dip of the NFL, along with Pepsi, are offering football fans across the country the opportunity to experience the game like never before, participating in a pregame coin toss from the 50-yard line, or being on the field for the Super Bowl trophy presentation. Fans can enter the Win Unreal NFL Experiences sweepstakes by visiting Tostitos.com for the chance to win a weekly Unreal NFL experience and to get awesome NFL gear and prizes. Pat O'Toole, Senior Director of Marketing for Tostitos, knows that football fans love the game and the experiences around it, whether they're tailgating in a parking lot or at home enjoying the game with their favorite Pepsi beverages and Tostitos snacks.
We're bringing our fans experiences they typically only dream of, from tossing the ball around with Drew Brees to helping team captains with the coin toss. These experiences give our fans the opportunity of a lifetime that only Tostitos and Pepsi can offer.
For more information, visit Tostitos.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Martinez live.
Sax, you know, don't you love that sax? Junior Walker, the All-Stars, summer 1968. I remember it so fondly. Yes, it was my graduation summer. This is Bill Martinez live, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Catholics do not have to be communists, or at least that's what John Zemera claims in his latest op-ed, expounding upon his newly released book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism. John, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm excited about the new book.
Hey, I am too. Let's talk about it. The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism, I think very appropriate right now because a lot of Catholics are, you know, trying to reconcile some things. I mean, gosh, we just had a vice presidential debate and, two staunch Catholics going head-to-head, which kind of gave you a little perspective if you had some understanding of the dynamics that are taking place right now between the yin and yang of the Catholic Church.
Well, actually, it was interesting. There were two former Catholics.
Yeah.
Mike Pence, however, admits that he's a former Catholic who now goes to an evangelical church, but he's still pro-life. He's still pro-marriage, pro-family. He still holds the basic fundamental beliefs that Christians have in common, but his wife is an evangelical, and he kind of found that more spiritually fulfilling. Whereas Tim Kaine stayed in these Catholic parishes that were moving further and further left, which is true in many places around the country, especially with the Jesuits. He was trained by the Jesuits, went with Jesuit missionaries who are Marxists in Honduras, and he went to meet with the ones who were smuggling guns in from Nicaragua to effect a communist revolution in Honduras. So Tim Kaine believes in abortion on demand through 9 months of pregnancy and that the government should fund it.
Right.
He's adopted these beliefs because he stayed in the Democratic Party, which has moved further and further and further into the radical left on these positions. Now, some people think that that can be reconciled with being a Catholic or even a Christian, but that's just fundamentally not true.
I can't connect those dots at all. And I can tell you, born and raised a Catholic, and my course somewhat similar to Mike Pence. And I will say this, John. You know, it's you could say once a Catholic, always a Catholic. He may be going to evangelical, but his worldview greatly affected by what he's how he was raised, and he was raised with Catholicism. In the same manner in which I was raised, and there's no way you can reconcile Catholicism with the Democratic platform right off the bat.
That's right. Really, with almost anything in the Democratic platform. And that's something a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people get the idea that, well, the Republicans are more Catholic when it comes to, like, abortion and marriage, maybe. But the Democrats are better, more Catholic in economics and immigration. And that's simply not true.
Right.
And I demonstrate in this book, I've got a whole chapter on immigration where I show you that Donald Trump's positions on immigration are much closer to those in the official catechism of the Catholic Church, which is what's binding on us, than the Democrats and Hillary Clinton's. Likewise, on economics, the church is much closer to the Republican positions, basically supporting free market economics, property rights, economic growth, restricted taxes, and letting people keep most of what they earn because it is theirs, and that is their human dignity. Again, I've got a chapter on that, a chapter on gun control and the death penalty. I'm trying to expose all the areas where the media, and in some cases, some of our bishops, have distorted the true teachings of the church and presented a kind of a caricature of Catholicism.
Well, why not? I mean, on top of that, you've got Pope Francis. And Pope Francis' views, Jesuit, yeah. So all this is coming into play here. Maybe mollified a little bit, but no doubt the trajectory is very similar, and understandably, and this is what's been questioned from time to time. And of course, I'm not being sacrilegious here. I mean, we're talking about issues of culture, not ex cathedra issues.
Right. Pope Francis has been a source of great confusion to people, because without officially changing fundamental church teaching, he has sort of put out a pink fog of expectation that somehow these things might be changed. Just the way he says things, the way he doesn't say things, his fondness for the media, and frankly, I think his craving to be liked and admired by the secular world, that I think is a very dangerous thing. So even though I think God protects the church against the Pope officially changing any church teaching, he can give people the impression that they've changed or that
they're about
to change or that they're probably going to change, wink, wink, down the road. And that's all people need. All people are looking for is excuses.
Exactly.
Well,
John, I gotta tell you, and excuse me for cutting you off here, but one of the things that I am really shocked about and grieved over is the Pope's lack of even a wink, wink, or any kind of direction toward the Assyrian Christians and what's happening there in the Middle East and ancient, what you would define as ancient Mesopotamia. Christians are being slaughtered. There is absolute genocide going on. And it's deja vu one more time where the Catholic Church is, sticking their head in the sand and watching people be annihilated, similar to what happened in World War II.
Oh, I agree with you. I have friends who are Syrian Christians. For this Pope to look at what's going on in the Middle East and say, oh, we need to save the Muslims and bring them into Europe and put a Muslim in every European home. He actually said that.
Yes.
Put a Muslim in every European home. You know, because there's not enough rape in Europe. There's not enough pillaging in Europe. You need to bring a million non-refugees. These people were not refugees. These Muslims in once these people left Syria and got to Turkey, they were safe, these Muslims. They were not refugees anymore. The refugees are the Christians being hunted to put into rape camps, made sex slaves by ISIS, or just murdered for their faith. I know some of these people. If you go to the Iraqi Christian Relief Fund, you'll see how ways to help them. Mm-hmm. They should be the focus because they have nowhere to go. They can't even go to Lebanon.
They can't go to the UN camps, and the UN camps are the entry into the United States because those are controlled by the Muslims. I mean, look at the we had 10,000 Syrians, just about all Muslims, about 99%, a couple hundred maybe, Christians maybe, in that group?
Yeah, no, and they're bringing military-age young men. It is not the resettlement of refugees. It is colonization and conquest, just like the white man did in Europe, the Arab man is doing in the West. And Pope Francis is saying it's our Christian duty to welcome them, but that's simply not the case. Read what the church says on immigration. I've got a whole chapter debunking this insane idea that the Catholic Church is for open borders. But you know why the church is pushing that? Especially the American bishops? Because 40% of American Catholics, 40% leave and do not come back. They're like Tim Gaine. I'm sorry, they're like Mike Pence. They find another church that is more fulfilling and they don't come back. If you're losing 40% of your people, you have to find a way to fill the pews. And what the American bishops are counting on, immigration from Central and Latin America to keep the church is full. The American church doesn't disappear like the Episcopal church is.
Well, Ted, this makes sense. That's great insight in your book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism, John. Here it is. I mean, interesting. You've got Democrats want immigrants to come in because, history says that they will vote Democrat initially until they, wake up and realize what the Democratic Party is all about. But the Democrats need voters, and the bishops need people in the pews to pay their tithes and support the church.
That's right. And just to make the bishops look important because they have a lot of people behind them and they get big government contracts for resettling the immigrants.
Exactly. Well, John, we're out of time. We'll leave it there. Remind everybody, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism, available at the usual places. John Zemerik on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, John.
When man stops believing in God, he'll believe in anything. Torchbearer follows the Duck Commander, Phil Robertson, as he argues the absurdity of life without God.
Human civilization's best chance of survival is to anchor itself in the God of creation. God created man and woman in his image. We are image bearers of God.
Torchbearer. This film is not yet rated. In select theaters October 7th. More information is available at torchbearermovie.com.
For pet owners and their four-legged friends, interacting with other dogs is a great opportunity to exercise and socialize, but can also pose health risks. Pet expert Julia Szabo explains.
Your dog's social life can put him or her at risk for health conditions such as canine influenza and parasites like fleas and ticks, which can cause both disease and discomfort. It's important to be in the know about risk factors and prevention options. Here are a few tips. Ensure your dog's vaccinations are up to date. Always discuss your pet's lifestyle with your veterinarian, including travel plans. Be aware of disease threats that could impact your dog. For example, there's a new strain of canine influenza, and it's incredibly contagious. Check your dog regularly for ticks. Catching them early can reduce the risk of Lyme disease. Talk to your veterinarian about choosing the right product to protect your pets from parasites. For example, Bravecto is the only oral chew to deliver flea and tick protection to dogs for up to 12 weeks.
Visit mypet.com to learn more. This message brought to you by Merck Animal Health. Bravecto important safety information. The most common adverse reactions recorded in clinical trials were vomiting, decreased appetite, diarrhea, lethargy, polydipsia, and flatulence. Bravecto has not been shown to be effective for 12 weeks duration in puppies less than 6 months of age. Bravecto is not effective against Lone Star ticks beyond 8 weeks after dosing. Visit mypet.com to learn more.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Oh, you hear the trumpets, you know what that means. Live from the movie capital of the world, Hollywood, California, no less, the movie guy. Steve Evans is with us to report on the weekend's big winners at the box office and the best of all the coming attractions. Steve, how are we doing, buddy?
Well, we're doing fine. A bit of a surprise last weekend at the box office.
Deepwater Horizon, they thought was going to do a lot better. It, kind of wimped in second place here.
Came in second place. They thought it was going to do a lot more. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, of course, number one. Deepwater Horizon, number two, making about $20 million. And I was reading an interesting article the other day about why these are both hero-based movies. You have Sully doing well and Deepwater Horizon, both hero-based movies based on real events. Sully, of course, doing incredibly well, made over $100 million so far, and Deepwater Horizon, in deep water, so to speak, not doing quite what they had hoped. And the reason why, and according to the article, and you've seen Sully, right?
Yes, absolutely. I thought it was terrific. As I told you, Tom Hanks just does not cease to amaze me. I don't care what he plays. I told you, I think he could play the role of a pencil and get a Globe or something, or an Oscar.
He is our Jimmy Stewart, this generation's Jimmy Stewart.
No, and, very well. I think you're exactly right. I would put him in that position, exactly.
But Sully, they were saying Sully's about good news. I mean, here we have, we know what happened. We know everybody survives. We know it was because of the incredible work of Sully Sullenberg. And Deepwater Horizon is a different sort of a story. Even though Mark Wahlberg plays a hero in the movie, it's still bad news. You had people losing their lives, and, of course, it led to, the biggest environmental disaster in history. So people are saying that, the exit polls are good from Deepwater Horizon, giving it a B-minus coming out. But people, I think, are a little reluctant to kind of relive that whole thing because it wasn't really a wonderful time in the history of the country there. So Deepwater Horizon struggling at the box office. But if you get there and see the movie, other people that have seen it says, hey, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Magnificent Seven, that was number three. Storks, number four. And Sully, as mentioned before, number five, making another 8.2 and over $100 million so far.
Steve-O, real quick on the Sully deal. Did you recall all the backstory on that the movie brought out, the controversy, with the...
With the investigation.
With the investigation and everything. I didn't recall that. Maybe because we're, West Coasters or whatever. I don't know. We didn't seem to get much of that. So I was a little surprised when I read about the backstory.
Right, I was too, and without giving anything away, because we don't know what happened. I mean, the flight lasted 208 seconds, and the plane ends up in the Hudson. But their investigation leads to some questions, and even Sully Sullenberg starts to question himself, which is a very interesting way to present the story. Mm-hmm. And that basically is what the movie is about. And I think they did it incredibly well. It was an interesting approach, I think.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought so as well. No, it is one of those movies that I was talking with somebody else, and they said they were in a theater. He said people don't react. They're remoteless, you know. And she said the people actually they stood up, they applauded, you know. And so there was positive reaction. I know there was positive reaction where I was at in Florida, but not standing up applauding, you know.
Everybody feels good walking out of that one, though.
I think so. Yes, exactly.
That is the case. Good. Have an interesting movie opening up this weekend, which was very big at Sundance. It's called The Birth of a Nation. It's by a young director by the name of Nate Parker. And this is set in the Old South and the antebellum South, The Birth of a Nation. This follows Nat Turner, who's a literate slave at the time and a preacher. And he has this financially strained owner, Samuel Turner, who accepts an offer to use Nat's preaching to subdue unruly slaves. That's what the deal is. Now, as Nat witnesses countless atrocities against himself and his fellow slaves, he orchestrates an uprising in the hopes of leading his people to freedom. Getting great reviews, 82% are recommending this one. It should be interesting to see how this does at the box office. I think it's going to be doing fairly well, making probably about $8 million this weekend, 82% recommending The Birth of a Nation.
Oh, okay.
Then we have another one called, I don't know whether you're familiar with the book, Girl on a Train.
Yes, I'm familiar with the book. I've seen it. I've picked it up a couple times, but I haven't, you know, gotten into it. So that's about the level of my familiarity.
Well, this was a book written in 2015, The Girl on the Train. It's a psychological thriller novel by British author Paula Hawkins. It came out in 2015, and it just caught fire. I mean, it went on to sell over 11 million copies.
Wow.
And this is a movie based on the book that a lot of people have been looking forward to. 53% of the critics are recommending this one. Has a great cast. Here's what it's about. You got Rachel, played by Emily Blunt. She's devastated by her recent divorce. She becomes this blackout drunk alcoholic and spends her daily commute fantasizing about the seemingly perfect couple who live in a house that her train passes by every day. The couple in the house, the woman in the house is a woman by the name of Megan, who figures into the story later on. One morning she sees something shocking happen at that house and then becomes entangled in the mystery that unfolds. Now this is told from the viewpoint of three different women, Rachel, played by Emily Blunt, Anna, by Rebecca Ferguson, and Haley Bennett, playing Megan. Now, here's what happens. One day, Rachel is stunned to see Megan, this woman living in this seemingly perfect household, missing a man other than her husband.
Uh-oh.
And the next day, after a night of heavy drinking, Rachel awakens to find herself bloody and injured, with no memories of the night before, but certain that she's done something that she will regret. And, of course, she is questioned by the police. She finds out, you know, that the story of the day is that Megan is missing, and Rachel is questioned by the police after Anna reports having seen her staggering around drunk in the area the night of Megan's disappearance. I'm going to see this one. It just looks fascinating to me. They're saying it could be the next Gone Girl, if you remember that.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, exactly. What a great movie that was.
Yeah. And The Girl on the Train, because of its built-in audience, probably will be number one. They think it's going to make about $26 million this weekend.
Mm.
We have another movie which hasn't been reviewed for the critics, but it looks like a fun movie. It's rated PG, so it's one, you know, the entire family could see. This is about Rafe. It's called Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life. Now, Rafe is the star of this. He has an epic imagination.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it. When you first said Rafe, I thought you said rape. And I go, Rafe. Okay, Rafe, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, don't mishear it like I just did. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, let's articulate here.
Yes.
Rafe, with an F. He has an epic imagination, slight problem with authority. Both collide when he transfers to this oppressive, rule-crazy middle school, drowning in do's and don'ts. Now, Rafe and his scheming best friend, Leo, hatch this plan to break every rule in the school's code of conduct. It's kind of like Ferris Bueller meets Home Alone. And they battle a principal by the name of Dwight. Now, this whole thing explodes into chaos, both real and imagined. Dwight, the principal, displays his own fiendish creativity, striking back at the rule breakers. And meanwhile, Rafe struggles to hide this misbehavior from Jean, who's a straight-A overachieving girl of his dreams. And at home, he has his mother's boyfriend, this Moochie jack of no trades by the name of Bear, threatens to become his stepfather. That's what's going on. It looks like a cute movie. Middle school, the worst years of my life.
Yeah, what else can Rafe do? I mean, he's got a mom with a, you know, a Moochie jack of all trades Bear boyfriend. All this other stuff. He doesn't appreciate authority. So what else can he do?
Yeah, that's it.
Hey.
Now let's turn the page here. We have a couple of strange movies that have been on the festival circuit. We have the one called The Greasy Strangler, which was big at Sundance. 74% are recommending this one. But before I would go, I would check out the trailer because we don't want you to show up at the theater and be exposed to something you weren't expecting. This is it's called The Greasy Strangler. This is about Ronnie, who runs a disco walking tour with his son, Braden. Now, when a sexy woman takes the tour, it begins this competition between the father and son for her love. And it also signals the arrival of an oily strangler who stalks the streets at night. The Greasy Strangler at a theater near you.
Yes, okay.
Another one that premiered at the San Diego Film Festival. I know this is one of those crazy movies with a great cast, and you wonder, it's not reviewed for the critics. You kind of wonder what went wrong. I've seen the trailer. It looks really, really funny. It's called The Late Bloomer, and this is about Dr. Pete Newmans, played by Johnny Simmons. He's a successful sex therapist whose practice is devoted to helping people rechannel their sexual impulses. When his doctors discover a pituitary tumor that has delayed his onset of puberty for 15 years, Pete undergoes what would normally be years of puberty in a matter of weeks.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Mood swings.
You think?
Voice changes. Acne. And all the other things that go, I won't go into it.
Yes, right.
All these things greet Pete as he tries to navigate life as a horny 15-year-old kid and a 30-year-old desperate to be a complete man and get the girl of his dreams. It's a funny movie. I'm not sure what it's where it's going to go, but this is based on a book. It's called The Late Bloomer, A Memoir of My Body. It stars Brittany Snow, Maria Bello, Elena Douglas, Jane Lynch is in this, J.K. Simmons. It's great cast, obviously. It is rated R. Check out the trailer before you leave the house.
Yeah, my life in puberty measured in weeks. Lord have mercy. That could... You can only imagine what that turns into, right?
That would be a wild ride.
Hey, I'm telling you.
A wild ride. We have a new IMAX movie out this weekend, which I am conflicted about. It's called The Voyage of Time. It sounds great, but the only reason I have reservations is because it's directed by Terrence Malick. Now, he's a great director. He directed The Thin Red Line and The Tree of Life, which started at the beginning of time and made for a long night at the movie theater. You may want to check out. I guess visually it is absolutely stunning. It's called Voyage of Time, and narrated, by the way, by Brad Pitt. So we have a lot to see this weekend.
Well, yeah, lot to see. And of course, we haven't had an IMAX movie in quite a while, so this could be a lot of fun, though.
It could be, right.
You know, and we'll see what happens. Like
visually,
well,
out of sight.
Like you say, lots to choose from, and maybe things... you know, even like for me to catch up on, I'm still trying to catch up. I wanted to go see Queen of Katwe. I had a chance to talk with David Oyelowo and the real Robert Katende, the missionary in Uganda, which was all kinds of fun. Well, Steve-O, always good to have you with us. We'll see you at the Cineplex this weekend. Bring plenty of popcorn. You know how I like it. Steve Evans, the movie guy. I'm Bill Martinez live.
Dr. Otto Warburg won the Nobel Prize for discovering how cells breathe. He also discovered how normal cells turn into tumor cells. He discovered the one prime cause of cancer was cellular oxygen deficiency. Dr. Joanna Budwig built upon the work of Dr. Warburg and discovered how to feed the cells to overcome this oxygen deficiency. She found that it was the sulfur in the cottage cheese that when mixed with fresh pressed flax oil, that the flax oil would become emulsified and more readily absorbed. Flax oil delivered in this manner was able to restore oxygen transfer to all cells of the body. Now there's a new method of pressing seed oils that produces the highest quality, zero oxidation, undamaged seed oils. The results on these seed oils alone are amazing. Now add our Life Force Enhanced One World Whey Protein Powder that is much higher in the sulfur amino acids than cottage cheese is, and you have a winning combination to confer health and energy like never before. Call 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Introducing the